All right, so Luke 22, and we're going to read verses 31 through 34. I was thinking of something funny I could have you say if you found it, but it wouldn't be good, I guess. All right, start with verse 31. It said, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." We'll stop there. Peter, always so confident, you know, always so sure. And I think we all had a touch of Peter now and again, haven't we? When we thought we could do it, we had the strength, we had the ability, and darn it, we'd go to the death, you know, and we make proclamations like that, and you soon find out that you really can't hold up to your word when you make proclamations like that. And I think Peter found that out. But I think there's something in all of us that desires to be strong, desires to have some type of character within us that is displayed in times like those, the times that seem to rock our world. They seem to change everything for us. And you want to be a person who has a strong back. You want to be a person who has a strong constitution. You want to be a person that can withhold and withstand any attack, anything that comes your way, right? We want to endure. We want to be people that endure. And so we try. We try to be tough. We try to be mentally tough. We try to be physically tough. But things always come along that throw us a curve, and they show us that maybe we're not as tough as we thought we were. Maybe we can't handle every situation that we thought we could handle. And there's, no matter how tough we think we are, there's always something that goes beyond the bounds of our toughness. So what do you do in times like those, times like Peter, who declared so openly, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you, even to death." You know, and it sounds great. It sounds like one of those TV dramas, you know, that you could say something like that in times like those. But it always doesn't hold up that way. But we long to be virtuous people, don't we? We long to be strong people. But what happens when that strength that we thought we had starts to wane? What happens when the strength that we thought we were made up of, we find out that we're really not made up of? Something comes along that seems to go longer and farther than the strength that we seem to have in ourselves. What do? What happens when those situations that come our way require more strength than we have? They require more strength than the person we're relying on, or that we have relied on for so long. And we see that they're not invincible either. We thought we had it, but we don't have it. So what happens when our strength fails us? What happens when our strength fails us in the economy of the Lord? In the economy of the Lord, our physical and mental strength is useless. In the economy of the Lord, let me say that again, our mental and physical strength is useless. It's useless. And you think, well, what can I do? If I can't rely on my own mental strength even, my own physical strength, what do we do in situations that seem to go beyond those things? And Peter finds out in Luke 22 what he's to do and what he can't do. He finds out continually after that the same lesson, that he can't do it. He can't overcome the circumstances that he's put in. They're bigger than who he is. They're bigger than the strength he has. And so the reason God has a plan for us is he knows that our strength can't carry us through those situations that come our way. We've all faced those things. But what happens? What do we do in those situations when our strength fails? God has a plan to build in us, not strength. And I think a lot of people say that, though, well, the Lord has made me strong. And if that's the case, then it's probably not of the Lord, because the Lord doesn't make you strong. Matter of fact, I would say that the Lord makes you weak. And you say, what? What do you mean he makes me weak? He makes you weak so you have no choice but to trust in him. God doesn't make you strong. God makes you weak so you'll trust. He makes you weak so you'll trust. We can never build trust and faith in ourselves. Can't do it. He will do it. He will build in us, not physical strength, not mental acumen, not mental sharpness, but he'll build in us faith in himself, godly faith, because godly faith is true strength. It's true strength, and only God can build it in us. But what does it require to get godly strength, to get godly trust, to get godly faith? What does it require? Because we see Peter here so sure of himself. And here he is, he's walking with God. And you'd think that if you're walking with God, that you would be so strong in your faith, wouldn't you? I mean, he's right next to you. I've seen him perform miracles. I've seen him heal people. I've seen him raise people from the dead. I have faith in Christ because I've seen him. But yet, even though he saw, he was still overconfident in himself and in a strength that would never last those things that were going to come his way. You can't do it. You can't have strength that's going to overcome the way Christ wants us to overcome. So Peter found in himself nothing that had any eternal worth to get him through the circumstances that God seemed to be placing him in. You ever get in a circumstance and you think, Lord, you brought this to me. You must have. But I can't get through this. I don't have any strength for this. I can't figure it out. It's beyond my knowledge. It's beyond my craftiness. It's beyond my strength and ability. So, Lord, why did you put me through this? The same way he put Peter through it. Why would you put Peter through it, Lord, when you know he was going to fail? Why do you put us through it, Lord, when you know we're going to fail? Because in your failure, God can show himself in the situation. He can reveal to you that you are a failure without him. He can reveal to you that if you don't trust in him, that you can't trust in anything. And so he puts you through something that's beyond yourself to show you just how strong he is. So what can we expect when we don't have this strength? What can we expect when God determines that he's going to build godly faith in us? Well, we can look at Peter and we can see some of the things that he could expect are the same things that we can expect. But one thing that we can expect is that our adversary will sift us. We can expect that our adversary will sift us. And in Luke 22:31, Jesus says this to Peter. And it's not really a nice saying, but we know that in this saying that Christ is saying, I'm going to hold you up, that I'll be your strength. But he says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. That does not sound real fun, right? It doesn't sound fun, but Jesus is talking about, the adversary is talking about Satan. And we know that Satan is our adversary, and in our lives on earth, even though we're saved, our battle with Satan isn't over. A matter of fact, when we're saved, it intensifies. We have an adversary, and he's constantly working against us. He's constantly plotting. He's constantly planning. He's constantly trying to deceive. And a lot of the time, well, every time, he knows us better sometimes than we know ourselves, even our enemy. He's watched us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our failures. He knows our shortcomings. And you think, well, how can I beat a foe when he knows all these things about me? He watches me constantly. How do I beat a foe like that? Because you can't beat him on your own. He's more crafty. He's been observing the human race from the time it was created. And you would think in 6,000 years he's learned a few things about the human race, don't you? And he looks at you and he says, I know what you're going to do. I know who you are. I see what your weaknesses are. He knows us. He doesn't know us like God knows us, but he knows us because he's watched us. So what do we do? What do we do when the enemy has decided to sift us like wheat? And definition of adversary is this: it's an opponent, it's a challenger, it's a rival, it's an enemy, he's a foe, he's an antagonist. Ben and Elizabeth know that they are each other's antagonists, but it works for good. But Satan is an antagonist. He's opposition. So Satan's desire for us is the same as it was for Peter back then. He wants to sift us like wheat. So what do we do? Because it doesn't sound exciting. But there are some things that sifting does. You see, sifting is a process. And it can work in our favor because, first of all, what sifting does, if anyone's been a farmer and I have not, thank God, but sifting separates the good from the bad. Sifting separates the good from the bad. It reveals impurities. You know, when they sift wheat, they are getting rid of the chaff to expose the kernel of wheat, and then they can process the wheat. So there's a good thing to sifting. It separates the good from the bad. The next thing it does, it seems harsh to the wheat, but it's this process. If you ever watch them thresh wheat, somebody was threshing in the Bible, I can't remember who, right off the top of my head. Was it Gideon? Was thrashing wheat? And the process of thrashing wheat, it's not something that's real fun, is it? They're beating the wheat up against something hard, and it's taking all the chaff out of the kernel of wheat, right? And so it exposes this wheat. But the thrashing, it doesn't seem pleasant at the time. It seems harsh, doesn't it? It hurts. But in that process, there's a purpose. In the process, there's a purpose. And I love the fact that Satan is a tool in the hand of God. He's a tool. You really shouldn't call anybody else that, but we can call Satan's a tool in the hand of God. And so Satan's purpose, although he's thinking, I'm going to beat them senseless, this is going to be a thrashing process, and they're not going to withstand it. God has the ultimate purpose, and he knows that in Satan's thrashing, that God is revealing something that can be used, something that's perfect, something that's going to be useful. So there's good to the thrashing. God's purpose is to release good wheat kernels in our lives. If you notice in verse 22-32, as Jesus didn't pray, Father, keep Peter from the thrashing. Keep Peter from the sifting. He didn't say that. He said Satan's desired to sift you, but he says after that he prayed that his faith would not fail. You know, we look at that and we think, well, God's going to keep me from the sifting, but he doesn't say that. He prayed that his faith would not fail through the sifting. So we know that Satan will sift us, but in the sifting, God desires to reveal himself in us so we can expect the sifting. We need to expect the sifting. When you go through something, don't say, Lord, why am I going through this? Say, Lord, I know you said I would go through a sifting, but Father, don't let my faith fail. Don't let my faith fail. So we can expect the sifting. The second thing is we can expect our abilities to sabotage us. Expect your abilities to sabotage you. And you think, well, wait a minute. My abilities have got me through. My abilities are what I count on. My abilities are what I stand on to get through situations. Well, you got it all wrong. Because we can expect our abilities to sabotage us. Because your abilities mean nothing in the economy of God. If God sent you here to develop your abilities, he sent you here for the wrong purpose. He sent you to develop your faith and trust in him alone. When the Israelites marched into the war, and God said, they would say, that our strength is in the Lord, that the battle belongs to the Lord. Sometimes they never even turned a hand. Sometimes they never even raised a sword. Sometimes they just marched out, and the enemy defeated himself, that he would ambush himself, and something would go on with confusion, and like when Gideon went out, and they started breaking jars, and they obeyed the Lord specifically. It had nothing to do with their ability in war. It had to do with the ability to trust. That was it. The ability to trust. And if we rely upon our abilities to get through the thing that God has brought our way, we will fail. We'll fail. We see that Peter failed. Peter says in Luke 22:33, and he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And you know that there was no thought in that statement, that he just blurted that out and was a big man and all that stuff. But Peter was trusting in his own abilities. He was trusting in who he knew himself to be. But how do you trust in who you know yourself to be when you've never faced a situation that's coming your way? How do you know what you're going to do? Because you've never seen the situation like this before. You've seen situations in the past. And you know, even though we see situations in the past and we've failed in those situations too, we tend to think we can still have the strength to battle a situation that's coming our way we've never seen before. But Peter does that, and he's trusting in his own abilities, and he's so sure of himself. He's so sure of himself, even though he had no idea what laid ahead. He had no idea what laid ahead. Can we be honest this morning and just say, there are some things that have come my way that I felt like giving up, that I felt like dying. Can we all say that this morning? I mean, let's be honest. You had things come your way and you thought, man, I'm done. I can't. How many times you said those words? I'm done with this. I'm done with you, son. You did above and beyond what I ever thought you would do. I'm done. And you say it in haste. How many times could we say there's things that come our way and we haven't been able to handle them? So why do we think we can handle something else that's going to come our way? There are two things that sabotage Peter. And we need to be wary of these things in our life. There are two things that sabotaged him. And one was self-confidence. Self-confidence. Proverbs 28:26, it says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. They tell you not to be nice, but man, or they tell you to be nice, but this word isn't very nice to people. You're like reading that, you think, man, that's not very nice to me. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered. He gives the problem, then he gives the antidote. Whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered. So self-confidence, again, in the economy of God, is useless because we ourselves are not trustworthy. We're not trustworthy. Our own hearts are considered wicked. Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If you trust your own heart, then you're not trusting God. And how can you trust your own heart when your heart has deceived you before? How many of us have been through that process when we were kids? Oh, man, I love them so much. This is it, Mom. This is it, Dad. And I tell you, I know. Don't tell me that this isn't the one. I know. My heart tells me this is it. And then you get on and you're going out for a little while and you're like, you come back, your tail between your legs, and you're like, maybe this wasn't it, Mom. You guys are right. And maybe you'd never say it, but you know, in your mind you're thinking, I'm not going to tell her, but I know this wasn't right. And when she asked you, this wasn't right, was it? No, that was fine. I just don't want to go out with her anymore. But your heart has deceived you. So we know our hearts can't be trusted. It never happened to Ben. You can't be confident in yourself. You can only be confident in the character of God. That's it. Self-confidence will sabotage you. The second thing is prayerlessness. In Luke 22:44-46, it says, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. I'm talking about Jesus. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when Jesus was going through this trial in Gethsemane, he didn't turn to himself. He didn't say, I have the strength, and I'm going to overcome what's facing me. He didn't boast about who he was. He could have come out and said, I am the Son of God, and in my hand is all power, and I'm going to defeat the enemy right here now. He didn't do that. He prayed. He prayed and understood that his strength was in his Heavenly Father, that he had to follow specifically what his Father told him. Prayer will keep us reliant on the Lord. Pride will keep us reliant on ourselves. Pride will keep us reliant on ourselves. And I don't know about you, but when I've done that in the past, I've made a mess of everything. You know, Proverbs said that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. See, I used to think that it said pride goeth before a fall, and a lot of people say that. You guys know that, right? They pride goeth before a fall. It doesn't say that. It says pride cometh before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So if you ever want to know why you got a lot of destruction around you, it might be that that scripture is true. That in your pride, that destruction has come. And we can look at that and say, Lord, forgive me for relying on myself, for allowing myself to be so sure in who I am, that in my pride, there's been destruction that's encompassed me. So we have to turn to him and be reliant only in the character of God, because our character is not trustworthy. Pride leads to prayerlessness. And an example Jesus gave us in Matthew 6 concerning prayer, he said this. And man, do we need to pray this? And it's a prayer we pray every Sunday. But he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Think about that prayer. How many times have we prayed, Lord, today, I'm not confident in myself because I can't trust myself today. But Lord, lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil today. Jesus even said, the day has enough evil for itself. So why think about tomorrow? So he wanted us to think about today. He wanted us to understand that there is enough evil every day for us to encounter that we have to rely on him completely. Don't forget to stay in prayer. Don't forget to stay in prayer. Prayerlessness leads to pride. Pride leads to prayerlessness. So in order for us to overcome evil, we have to remain in prayer. Without humility in prayer, we can be assured that our abilities will sabotage us. Don't trust in your own abilities. We can expect our abilities to sabotage us. The third thing is we can expect our actions are going to surprise us. You know, we get so good, don't we, at putting on and trying to be good. We do. I said that before, but we do. And we think that when we do something that's so out of the ordinary that we're so surprised by it, that, well, why'd I do that? You know, that's not me. That's not who I am. But we need to expect that our actions will surprise us. That we're going to look at ourselves and go, what was I thinking? What was I doing? Why did I let myself get to that point? And then we're so confused of why and how, and we don't understand that we don't have the character that God has. That without relying on him completely and fully, that we're going to fail. That we're going to be surprised by our actions. We know that Peter never expected to deny Jesus. When he said that in Luke 22, he didn't think, you know, I'll probably deny Jesus. You know, it'll be okay. He never expected that he was going to fail and fall like that. And we never expect that we're going to fail and fall either. We never expect that we're going to do something that's so drastically different than who we're trying to be, than who God's made us to be. So when those times come, it blows us away. And I can guarantee you it blew Peter away to the point where he got on his knees and he wept bitterly, it said. He wasn't expecting it. Our actions will surprise us. Peter thought he was tough enough. He thought he was strong enough. He thought he was man enough to endure anything. But what happens when the anything goes beyond who and what you are? He found out self couldn't be trusted. In 1 Corinthians 10:12, it says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So when we try to stand in our own abilities, our own actions will surprise us. But even in the face of failure, we find out that though it surprises us, though it catches us off guard, in the end, even though we have fallen as Peter has fell, we understand this through it all, that we have an advocate that will secure us. That even though we have fallen, even though we have done what seems to be the unthinkable, that through that process of falling, we understand that we have an advocate in Jesus Christ that never changed, that still stands, that still holds us, that still knew what we were going to do before we ever did it. And we come back to him as Peter came back to him. And what did Jesus do when Peter came back to him? Did he rebuke him? Did he thrash him? Did he denounce him? Did he say, get out of here, you worthless servant? No, he didn't. He said, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And he could look at Jesus, and he probably knew that Jesus' love was so much bigger than Peter's failure. And he knew that in the midst of all that failure, that Jesus never changed. That his advocate never fell from his position of being the God that upholds him. That Peter just did what humans do. They fail. They fail. But he knew he had an advocate that would never fail. He knew he had in Jesus somebody that would never fail. So even when his adversary came against him, and he always going to constantly come at us, in Jesus Christ, he had an advocate to defend him. In 1 John 2:1, it says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And then he says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Satan tries so hard, he tries to fool you, trip you up. And then when he's finally done and he's tripped you up, then he runs to the Father God and he says, look, look what's happened. Look what he did. Look who they are. And Jesus points at Jesus Christ. I mean, God points at Jesus Christ. And he says, what are you saying? What are you talking about? Jesus already paid the penalty. The advocate still stands strong at the right hand of the Father. What are you talking about, Satan? Jesus is right here standing on the right side of me, and I don't see what you're saying. All I see is him. So stop talking, because there's an advocate that stands in his place, and he has never failed. So our actions may surprise us, but they do not surprise Jesus Christ. They don't surprise him. So when your actions surprise you, understand that you are going to be surprised by your actions. But we have an advocate who's already paid the penalty for your sin. And just come back to Jesus. And say, Lord, I failed. My actions have surprised me. And then let it sink in who you are. That you've been, yes, bought with a price. But there are times when you're going to fail. There are times when you're going to stumble. And in those times, understand you can come back to him and you have an advocate that stands at the right hand of the Father. Someone once said, God doesn't love us because we're valuable. We are valuable because God loves us. God doesn't love us because we're valuable. We are valuable because God loves us. Your value is in him alone. Romans 8:33, it says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. We're his. And Jesus prays for us like he did Peter. That isn't just a remote circumstance that happened in Peter's life. Jesus goes on and he prays for us the same way he prayed for Peter. In John 17:9, he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. For they are thine. Are you thine this morning? Are you his? Are you his? Because if you're his, Jesus prays for you specifically, that your faith faileth not. And when you think your faith has failed, understand that he's bringing you through a process to reveal the weakness inside of you. And that's a good thing. Because if you can have the weakness revealed inside of you, then you can start working on the faith that's also inside of you and trust in his strength. It's a good thing to be weak. Why did Jesus allow Satan to sift Peter? He revealed the impurities in his heart, and we can expect Jesus to protect us through that revealing, through the sifting that affects our lives. And in Luke 22:63, I already said this, Peter went out and he wept bitterly. And this whole process, it affected Peter because Peter, in this process, discovered what was inside of him. He discovered that there was failure inside of him. But then he discovered that, wait a minute, how can I succeed if I'm relying on myself? I'm not going to. But Jesus was showing him through this process of who he was. He saw what was inside of him and he didn't like it. But he'd understand that the strength that he thought he had was no strength at all, that he found his true strength in Christ. And Peter learns from the experience. And through him learning from the experience, he writes this like a totally different person in 1 Peter 5:8. And what you got to understand is when he wrote this, he didn't become strong to write this. He became weak to write this. And he said, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. In Peter's weakness, he wrote this, understanding that in himself he's no match for the enemy. Only in Christ, in Christ's strength, does he have the ability to overcome. Acts 4:13, it shows a different Peter than we see in Luke. In Acts 4:13, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and you got to understand the boldness of Peter isn't Peter's boldness. It's the boldness of Peter knowing the Word of God. It's the boldness of Peter in the Spirit of God. It's not the boldness of Peter in Peter. But they said this in Acts 4:13. They write, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They'd been with Jesus. They took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus, and that was the difference. It wasn't that Peter went and studied and became smart. It was because he had been with Jesus. So know this morning, that your adversary is going to sift you, that your abilities will sabotage you, that your actions will surprise you, but ultimately know that your advocate in Jesus Christ will secure you. He will secure you. So don't depend upon yourself. Depend upon the advocate that you have in Jesus Christ, and you won't fail. You stand with me this morning. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that we're not strong. And Lord, forgive us when we thought that we are strong, that we've had something built up inside of us, that we've become strong, stable back people that are able to endure. Father, that's a lie. Father, we have no strength. Lord, forgive us for thinking so, but Lord, help us to understand that the times that we've gotten through, Lord, hasn't been by our own hands. It hasn't been by something that we concocted or came up with, Lord. Even if a thought came to our mind, it surely was of you, Father. Help us to understand that our strength is solely in you. And specifically in our ability to trust in you. Our ability to have faith that you're going to come through in every situation. Our ability to not trust in the things that we see with our eyes and namely ourselves, Lord. But you've given us the ability, you're building in us, Lord, not strength. You're building in us trust. To see you accomplish things, Lord, in our lives that maybe we've never seen before. To bring us to such a dire place, Lord, that the only way we can look up is up. And the only thing that we can look at is you. Because we know in ourselves there's no ability to get through that impossible thing that seems to be set out before our eyes. Father, build in us that trust. Build in us that faith. Even in the darkest of times, Lord, that we can look up and we can be full of joy, even though everything around us seems to be chaos. To seem to be beyond what our mind can comprehend. That our mind can concoct an ability to come up with a solution, Lord. And sometimes you bring us to those situations and we think, what is going on? Father, help us to know that the battle belongs to you. Help us to trust you. Lord, let us to know that when we fail, well, maybe you'd come to us and say, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And Lord, because we know that you love us. Father, give us faith and trust. Let us be mighty in those things, Lord, not in worldly things, not in pride. And Father, I believe you set your church out to overcome because it can only be done through who you are, Father, not through what we can do. Let us go forward in that, Lord. We love you this morning. We praise you, Father. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.